Welcome to another episode of A Sporting Discussion, your podcast that talks sport of all sorts. I'm Andrew Donison. As per usual, I'm joined by AJ Mithen. Hello, AJ.
Andrew, how are you?
Look out, AJ. Look out.
What?
Someone's throwing a shoe at you.
Oh, not again.
Did you see the footage? Sorry to jump right in, but something, one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in a sporting field happened. I think it must have been overnight. Rhys Palmer,
yes.
The former Fremantle GWS
Carlton
footballer,
was AFL player,
yep. Was at the trots, the harness racing?
Yeah, Gloucester Park.
And decided during the running of one of the races to throw a shoe onto the track.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
But yeah, he's thrown it onto, and it basically hit the third and fourth horse. So that missed the first two, and then the next in line, it went there. And the race caller was so smooth. He's just going, you know, coming around, blah, 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 blah. And someone get security. Someone's throwing a shoe onto the track. That's ridiculous.
Let's put that in here so that everyone can listen. Here is the audio.
It's Rock and Roll, who's ahead away on the outside, and unbelievably, someone has thrown a shoe onto the track. Security, please grab this man. They leave.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
What a moron. How good was that?
I saw it this morning and I thought I have to talk about it. We're recording on Saturday, the 16th of whatever month. We're in March.
That's right, March. So yeah, obviously
Friday night trots.
So if drunken, I'm going to assume he was drunken.
Oh, no, let's not make any assumptions about this. It was stupid.
Well, there is one assumption we can make, and it's that AFL is in crisis. Oh. The player behaviour is off the charts. they really need to think about how they're going and where they are and what the culture of the game is in.
Oh, every single player is bringing the game into disrepute.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
It's outrageous.
Disgusting the way AFL players act.
So, AJ, can I take from that you would like to head straight into the question that you posed on social media this week? What is the best spun sporting league or association in Australia?
Yeah, best spun league in Australia. And by spun, we mean what gets the best PR? And not necessarily we need to dive into our own question because it took us down a number of pathways. So there's spun as in they have their own PR who do the job well for them.
Yep.
There's external spin like the media
doing the job
for them. There's people like us and our relentless talk about the mighty Canberra Cavalry who
are, Cav.
You know, social media influencers, if you want to call it that. And I guess the whole package, which sport benefits the most from all of those angles put together?
And there's one extra bit about spin, which the NRL have really had to be on the front foot about this off-season, and it's where and it's what you alluded to in the Rhys Palmer shoe-throwing incident. It's where something bad happens and the league goes, righto, what are we going to do? Like, spin doesn't necessarily always have to mean how we're going to make this a good thing for us.
There are times when the NRL has not helped itself in how it has reacted to some of the issues that have gone on, be it whether it be salary cap fixing or whatever, you know, players acting up off the field or the debacle that was the whole off season. But I think they've got it right with their no fault stand down.
Do you want to quickly run through the no fault stand? I think we talked about that
briefly. Last week, but it's if a player is charged with an offence that carries an 11-year or more jail term.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's 11 years or more in jail at the possible.
Yep.
If they're found guilty, then they're stood down, full pay, still training. All of that. Yeah.
Now full pay
just can't play.
Does the club pay them, or is the NRL doing
the
that?
The club still pays them. There's been some discussions about whether it affects the salary cap figures for the team who has the player, but to that I say TS, bad luck.
Yeah,
if a lot of the time, you know, you're getting a bad egg, and if you get a bad egg and they play up and you've got to pay them and cop the salary cap whack, bad luck. You took your chance.
I wonder, I mean, it's slightly different to a player been suspended. You still got to pay them, and then you've got to bring someone into the team. And that might be someone who is on match payments, therefore that affects how much you're paying in salary cap.
I think there might be some relief. This is all to be confirmed.
Yeah, yeah.
But there might be some relief as per the player if a player is signed to cover that.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I need to double check that.
Because one of the things that I read, and it's an interesting argument, is what if it happens to someone and the court case takes 2 years and then they're let off?
Yep.
What happens? Do they have...
Well, then they've been stood down on full pay for 2 years.
Yeah. I guess the fact they've been paid is probably...
That's what's circumventing a lot of trouble for the NRL here. Not really circumventing a lot of trouble. Yeah.
But,
Full pay can still train.
Yep.
I imagine if... I'm not sure... Because it's brand new, it's yet to be tested in something. Let's talk Jack DeBellin,
who's
at St. George Illawarra, who was the first player stood down under this rule before the rule actually existed.
And then was it reneged because the rule didn't exist?
No, he took the NRL to the federal court to say, hang on, you've suspended me under the rule that doesn't exist.
Right, so they were just talking about bringing in the rule.
No, they announced he was stood down under this new policy, but the policy actually had not been ratified yet by the NRL. So
classic.
Administrative oversight.
Yeah, right.
So now it is actually in play. The lawyers have all written it out and looked over it from every angle, and there it goes. And he is now formally suspended under that policy.
Okay.
There's also a little bit of back and forward because... They announced he was suspended before the rule actually existed, and I don't know if there's anything in there about it being retrospective.
Yeah. So I guess the arguments against it that I've seen are the concept of innocent until proven guilty, if found innocent and hasn't been able to play, what impact has that had on the individual, their earning capacity, the fact that they're getting paid.
Mm.
Now, I reckon...
The thing with DeBellin, though, and he's a good example to use because he's an Origin player. One State of Origin game is worth $30,000 extra. And he played three
Origin games
like this last year. He won't get that.
And he won't get compensated for that because it's not his contract.
He won't get compensated for that, no. The Dragons won't have to pay him any bonuses for that unless they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. They went to the federal court. They had the first session where it was uncovered that the NRL hadn't actually ratified this policy yet. The NRL went away, ratified the policy, and then DeBellin pulled his case. He said, no, I'm not going forward with it. Whether that's because he doesn't want to spend all this time and money fighting the NRL, and St. George may have said to him, look, it's probably because St. George weren't involved in that action either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he's probably got a whole bunch. I've got no sympathy for him because of the situation he put himself in.
Yeah, well, exactly so, right. And so the NRL have... spun that situation well. They've come out and said...
They've worked it well.
Look, there's been 15 or 17 incidents in the off-season and we just have to take a stand. Yeah. And they've gone, look, yeah, it might be that someone is stood down and they're proven innocent, but if the policy goes some way to stopping people being idiots...
Yeah, I don't think it will because they're on full pay.
Yeah, okay.
But that's just me, and that's just, I mean, idiots are idiots, and they're going to be idiots no matter what. They don't stop and think.
No, but the NRL have probably started to be a better spun
that's
league.
That's true. The no fault stand down has some similarities to the NFL's commissioner's exempt list.
Okay.
Which is where you remember Ray Rice, who was caught on video punching his wife?
Yes.
He was initially suspended for 2 weeks. Until video footage emerged that showed him absolutely decking his wife. Absolutely disgusting. Eh?
Right.
And then he was put on the commissioner exempt list. Now, the commissioner, what's his name of the NFL? It doesn't matter. I can't remember. Roger someone. Has a list when players are busted for drugs or some other crime, he can put them on the commissioner's exempt list, which means... they're not on a list. Aligned to a team, but they're not on that team's squad.
Okay.
So he basically removes them and puts them in his own
team.
Down, you know, his own timeout.
timeout list, yeah.
But the thing with that commissioner's exempt list is they're not allowed to go into the club. They're not allowed to go into the team.
Okay.
They're not allowed to train. I think they're still down on full pay. I'm not sure if the NFL takes over the payment or whatever. Yeah. But a lot of the time that happens when someone's involved in domestic violence or is sprung for drugs or charged with an offence or something like that. Usually the team and the NFL, Roger Goodell is his name.
There we go. Well done.
The Goodell and the team owner will sit down and say, right, what's an appropriate way to deal with this? And a lot of the time it ends up with the player being put on the commissioner's exempt list.
That's a good way to do it. I quite like that.
So a little different here because there's no ownership.
No, true. So we've got the NRL, which are getting better. What do you think, AJ? Which league or association in Australia is the best spun league?
Well, the best spun one for me isn't the one you might think it is. Because so, a lot of the replies we got on at ASD underscore radio on Facebook and facebook.com/a sporting discussion went straight to the AFL.
Which I think if you don't really think about it too much, you just go, okay, well, which gets a lot of coverage and which gets a lot of sympathetic coverage, as you were talking about, which gets the media to do the bidding for the clubs. But I wonder if that's a Southern States thing, though.
It's very difficult to find a AFL coverage, particularly in Melbourne, that is negative about the game. There are parts here and there that bust up, that pop up from time to time. But on the main, if there's something going on in the community that everyone knows about involving an AFL player, it will vanish from the news cycle very quickly if it is even brought up at all.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And there's they've got a lot of money to invest. You see the amount of
they
throw in.
I'm not sure if they still do, but the AFL pays the Daily Telegraph in Sydney to run AFL stories.
Oh, really?
And on the back page and in the back like three pages.
Okay.
And they also pay Triple M Sydney to play Swans games and GWS games instead of NRL games. So that's the way.
That's clever.
That's the way that's the really AFL clever. Does it. And so whether you like AFL or not, you got to deal with it.
It's there.
If you're in a market where AFL is not popular.
And so you don't think that it's the AFL?
We did our very, very, very good friend and co-host in Triple R, Aaron Delahunty, gave us a good comment about the AFL.
Yep.
And it makes a really, really good point. She says it's the AFL because its power and connections to power enable all matter of sins to be hidden. It's always been like that and it always will.
Interesting. Yeah,
and she's bang on. Remember last year when Gil McLachlan said if a woman accused an AFL player of sexual misconduct or sexual harassment, if the club paid her off, that was perfectly fine to make it go away? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Got maybe 5 days in the press. If that. And then it was just choked. It vanished.
Yep.
If Todd Greenberg, CEO of the NRL, had said that, he would have been out of a job within 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably the best example of show. I wrote an article not long after that talking about that specific quote that Gil McLachlan did.
Yeah.
And it got edited out. It got taken out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's
censorship. AJ Mithen censored.
It's a really interesting look at how protected the AFL is. And Aaron's point about being connected to power is right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially we record in Melbourne and the Victorian government throws money at the AFL to play at the MCG, to move house. They've given them, I think it was either last year or in 2017, they gave the AFL nearly $500 million. To set up a whole bunch of different AFL headquarters, a new AFL headquarters, a contract to play games here and play games there. The AFL owns the Docklands Stadium. They paid a heavily reduced rate because they were involved in the building of it.
But a lot of that, though, is the state government recognising the economic benefit that playing those games here in Melbourne.
It's also the political the political side of it to say if the AFL moved headquarters to Sydney under your watch, you're gone.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. So what's your best spun league?
It is the National Basketball League.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Larry Kestelman has done an amazing job since he's taken over. And you go to
it's very hard to find any negative coverage at all about the NBL.
You know, the only negative coverage I've seen this year was Andrew Bogut at the awards night when he sent up a teammate to accept Defensive Player of the Year for him. He was doing that for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, and again, that got, you know, there was a little bit of bubbling along, and then it vanished.
Yeah.
But if you were to read the tweets, Facebooks, online articles, what else, coverage in the papers, coverage on Fox Sports about the NBL, you'd think it was one of the biggest leagues in Australia, wouldn't you?
And that the like participation rates are booming, eyes on screens are
this
booming,
is massive.
Bums on
it's
seats.
Massive
are,
everywhere. You can't seem to write anything or say anything about the NBL without saying it's booming.
So I know that Melbourne United, they do get some excellent crowds. They've had their
crowds are up
day.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Crowds are up everywhere.
But I feel there's a butt coming along, AJ.
Well, you know how we all the average attendance last year in the NBL, 6,378. Now, obviously, that can be limited because of the locations they play in, the stadiums.
Smaller capacity,
stadiums they play in, a lot of them are smaller capacity. But that's, okay. Well, let's move on.
That's not very big.
We know that we are told that this is fantastic. It's booming, it's booming, it's booming. Everyone wants a piece of it. You know how we rubbish the A-League for rating around 43,000 and that on Fox Sports and about, you know, 80, 90,000 on
and how everyone's lost interest.
Everyone's lost interest. The A-League's on its knees.
Yep.
The NBL's average ratings on Channel 9 are 29,907 people a game.
Ooh.
And on Foxtel, where every single match is televised, their average ratings are 12,482.
So they're getting 40,000 eyes on screen.
Across both platforms.
Channels. Wow.
Now that, I've been looking for those figures for so long because I've asked people, can someone please send me ratings for the NBL? I'll get nothing. Can I have, you know, is there any indication of how far this has gone? Because the ratings agencies don't release stuff if it's under a certain threshold because it's not reported.
Yeah, okay.
So if your average is 12,482 on Fox Sports notoriously don't release all their data.
Yep.
So they're not going to be releasing all sorts of stuff. They released info for an A-League game that got 19,000. And that got absolutely shredded.
Oh, so therefore they're not going to do that
anymore. So they're not going to do that anymore. It's just interesting, isn't it? Because the participation rates are huge for basketball.
Yeah.
There's no denying that.
And you talk to a cross-section of the community, and a lot of them will either themselves or they'll know people who follow NBA. It's like what we've talked about with Premier League.
Yeah.
People follow Premier League, but not
Premier
Australian
League,
stuff.
American baseball, you know, following an NBA team. Yeah.
But so the NBL, as you say, you're right.
I'm just pointing out numbers here. I'm not saying that the NBL's trash or anything.
Oh,
like that.
No.
Just say we're talking about the best spun here because this year I cannot find one negative article about the NBL.
And I love what's happened in recent years. You know, the Brisbane Bullets coming back in, Melbourne United selling out games with the roof open. Oh, I think it's brilliant. It's a throwback to the 90s when it was really thriving. But
there is an interesting aspect to it.
Talk to me.
There's a little bit of this in the Aussie Baseball League as well.
Mm.
They get pretty big audiences outside of Australia, in both the US and across China, the big spots where basketball is quite popular. There's distribution deals for the NBL over in the US, which is, you know, they're pretty minor. But just as an example, the ABL had, I think, their Korean team in Australia streamed every game here, and you'd be lucky to get 2,000 or 3,000 people watching on a live stream because they didn't have any commentary because it was broken down between the organisers and the ABL.
So it was just vision?
Just vision.
Okay.
Proper game play. There was a really slick production. Just
so not like the old Sheffield Shield where they had a camera at one end and you go onto the Cricket Australia website.
No English commentary. But they were broadcast back to Korea. And they averaged nearly 500,000 people every game, and they were rubbish. They won something like 16 games, or maybe even less than that, 13 or 16 games for the whole year. But every game back in Korea was rating about 500,000 people.
That's incredible. And obviously that's the reason why the Australian Baseball League was so keen on getting the Korean
Yeah, and they also want to get a Taiwanese one and a Japanese one. But the ratings for the ABL in Australia is nothing. You wouldn't know it if you walked over it.
No.
Overseas, it's the interest is huge. The interest is huge.
Is that because there's overseas players playing here, or because people are interested in seeing the upcoming talent that might then go over to their league?
A little bit of both. A lot of Asian prospects come over to Australia. A lot of Asian veterans come over to Australia who already have massive followings over in Japan or Korea or wherever, and they all want to watch that.
Okay.
But it's kind of using the ABL to illustrate the point about the NBL. It's not always about the Australian market.
Absolutely. And so that good point there. It's not always about bums on seats.
Mm, it very rarely is.
It's eyes on screens.
Yeah, eyes on screens or on phones or in app downloads or pay for watch or anything like that. But I've got to say we've gone slightly off track. But yeah,
that's all right.
For me,
it's the
NBL, the best spun league in Australia. What about you?
Oh, sorry. I quickly want to touch on where we're talking about, it's all about eyes on screen. And we won't go into this in too much detail. But
are you about to spruik KO Sports again, your favourite brand in the world?
No, I love it. I don't have it. I'm not technologically advanced enough to figure out how to get it to my devices. But it's the concept now of the sports being an industry, and people I've seen much more in the last probably 6 months, people getting upset at this thing of the industry. It's like,
yeah,
what?
You, that's what it is.
You want people to play on suburban grounds, with no TV deal, you want no sponsors, you want no selling games to China or Tasmania or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you want your football team to actually survive? It's a business. It 100% is a business, don't understand why people are getting so frustrated with people calling it an industry.
It's annoying when, what was it, Todd Greenberg...
From the NRL?
From the NRL, who's the CEO, was talking to Queensland.
Mm.
He was talking to an audience in Queensland about a second Brisbane site.
Okay.
And the way he kept saying it, the way he kept putting it was, we want to bring more content into Queensland. We want to bring more content into Queensland.
Yeah.
And they
we don't want to bring another
what
team.
What the hell are you talking about? He's talking about bringing in a second team to match it with the Broncos. But he's saying, we want to bring more content to Queensland. And everyone's sitting there going, what are you talking about, mate?
You know what we want? We want a game in Queensland every weekend,
yeah,
and two games on TV that people will get eyes on.
You sent a really good text during the week. I'm going to read it out.
Thank you.
I'm going to read it out. So we were talking about industry and content and all of that thing because of the Thor jumpers for the Bulldogs.
But we'll get to that later.
And you said, why can't teams just not have sponsors and just play in one jumper and play at a suburban ground and not be on pay TV where I have to pay to watch?
Exactly.
Yeah, all leagues would be bust if that was the case.
100%. I love the Western Bulldogs in the AFL with their Thor-themed jumper. My best spun AFL, we've gone through the reasons why. I'm gonna throw out rugby union merely
What's
because
that? I've never heard
exactly
of it.
It is non-existent. The Super Rugby has, as I check my phone to check the app to see exactly how many weeks it's been running for, but the Super Rugby has been running for 5 weeks?
Way longer than that.
No. We're in round five.
Are we?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But Melbourne and Canberra have already played each other twice, and the Waratahs and...
Oh, yeah. Let's not get into fixturing.
We got a good comment from Aaron Todd in a Sporting Discussion Facebook group. It says, I don't think any of the leagues have particularly good PR, but the AFL is probably the best at being the most 24/7, 365 sport in the country. Apart from the Essendon saga, most scandals go quiet or are largely ignored after a few weeks. And that is where I want to make another quick comparison. NRL and AFL, Melbourne versus Sydney.
Ah, yes.
Melbourne media versus Sydney media. Sydney media get a sniff of something, they will absolutely go after it and rip you to pieces.
Yeah.
And the Melbourne people get a sniff of something, I don't know if they trade it back for a story further down the line or if they just think, I won't do that, I won't talk about that because it's not worth maybe losing my accreditation like certain AFL journos have before, or accreditation levels, access accreditations.
I think and he's said this on a podcast. Mick Warner, I think from I think it's down the Herald Sun. He didn't get his accreditation for a final series once.
Yeah, he wrote something that the AFL didn't like, and then they didn't accredit him for the final series.
I want to go back.
Here, look, if you're in charge, that's what I'd do as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Control the narrative.
Yeah.
In your industry. Super Rugby, I'm just going to run through a few scores, sure, if I could. Brumbies versus Melbourne Rebels, 27-34 in round one. Nice, close, high-scoring game. Waratahs, their first game at home, they lost 19-20 against the Hurricanes. They then won 31-30 the following week. The Reds, 36-31, they lost to the Highlanders. The Melbourne Rebels, 24-19 over the Highlanders. There's been some close matches. The Rebels have played three and won three. They are far and away the best team in the Australian League or the Australian Conference at the moment. But there's actually been some pretty good performances by the Australian teams. Would not know about it at all. So 100% for me, the worst spun league in Australia is Rugby Union and the Super Rugby. AJ, we talked AFL and the spinning. There's been a lot of spinning in the AFLW world around conferences.
Is it spinning or is it just straight to outrage?
Well, people have gone straight to outrage, and then there's been a need to reel that back and just go. So you are a big fan of conference play
in general. Conference play in general.
Yeah, let's leave aside AFLW for just a sec. Conference play in general, why do you love it so much?
Because it makes games more worthwhile. It makes games more meaningful.
Yep.
I'm huge on making seasons shorter.
Yep.
Less is more. Less means more riding on it.
Yep.
More value out of every outing. You don't have dead. Well, you're going to get dead games no matter what, because that's just how things turn out. But in conference play, there's a lot riding on it because your options for success and progression are limited.
Yes.
And you need to be good every week. You can't have a week off.
And the majority of, or not the majority, a lot of sports around the world have conferences. So you've got the NBA has conferences. The Super Rugby that we just talked about has conferences. A lot of the World Cups, they're all done as conferences.
Now, the reason they're done as conferences, part of that, though, is because there's so many teams involved, which is why AFLW is in a different, kind of a different position when it comes to conference play.
So what's your theory on why the AFL bought in conference play for
10
AFLW?
Teams?
I've got my theory.
10 teams of five, it's because they're going to do it with the men's. And it's because they wanted the...
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's step one. It's going to happen in the men's. You can take that to the bank.
Oh, hello.
Either the AFL or the NRL are going to change their men's competitions to conferences very, very soon.
Okay.
You heard
it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It's easier to deal with logistics. It's easier to set up your fixture because you've banked teams that they're going to play against if you're having a shortened season.
Yep.
And it's easy. And like I said, more import on more games means more people watch towards the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, what do you think?
So my theory is the AFLW bought in a couple of extra teams this year, and so North Melbourne and Geelong. It went from an 8-team competition to a 10-team competition. They didn't have 9 weeks in
which
they
brought it back to seven rounds, didn't they? 7 rounds, then 2 weeks of finals.
Yes. Yeah. My theory is, next year, when they bring in four more teams.
There's a Gold Coast, West Coast,
Richmond
and
the other
else.
Team that's yes, coming in.
The other team.
14 teams. There will be two conferences of seven. You will only play teams within your conference.
And there'll be a wild card playoff.
So it will be 6 rounds.
Yep.
Of playing actual play.
Yep.
Then if you've got 7 teams in each, maybe the top two from each conference plus the next best two teams will go into a finals system over 3 weeks somehow. I haven't thought about how that finals will work.
I'll tell you how it'll work.
But I can guarantee what I am 100% positive they bought in conferences this year merely so they could play conferences next year. Because it didn't make sense.
But what do you think about the outrage of it all? because to me, it's not actually. No, you go first.
The outrage of it is due to how they've split up the conferences. Now, look at the NBA. They've got conferences by geography. So that makes sense. Super Rugby, conferences by geography. In the AFLW, they split the teams based on where they finished in the last season. Mm-hmm. So 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6. And then they added in the two new teams into
one in each
of those conferences. What they didn't necessarily consider is how strong those two new teams would be. It was hard to know, but there was an assumption that North Melbourne were going to be much stronger than Geelong because mm-hmm. Geelong were going with the homegrown route. They're going their VFLW.
Younger players.
Yeah. And the North Melbourne just recruited as many superstars as they could.
Well, that's part of, I mean, any team could have done that really because 99% of the competition are on one-year contracts.
Yeah, yep. And Fremantle, I think there was a suggestion that they probably wouldn't do as well as they have this year. Fremantle were actually favourites for the competition in year one. Mm. So it's not necessarily a surprise.
They were supposed to be good this year.
GWS were meant to be good this year and they've not been.
But we're wandering around all over the place.
Okay, I don't mind conference play. I think that the issue that we've seen here is a short season has meant that, and the fact that you play across conference has shown that there are the good teams in one conference and the lesser teams are in the other conference, and it looks bad.
Yeah, but
if they only played within their own conference, it would be fine.
But also, one conference is bad, one conference is good. That happens everywhere in every sport that has conference play. It's like a free kick count. It's not supposed to be even. It turning out even is an anomaly or a quirk. Conference play, one conference is always going to be stronger than the other because the teams in those conferences are better.
And that's where the
next year it could be conference B is better.
Oh yeah, look, I agree with that. But that's where the wild card comes in. That's where I think they've stuffed up because if we look at conference A as it stands at the moment. No one from Conference A has played yet in this last round. Mm-hmm. Adelaide, North Melbourne and Fremantle are all on 5 wins. Melbourne are on 4 wins. So it's going to be very difficult for Melbourne to make the finals because North Melbourne play Fremantle. So the winner of North Melbourne versus Fremantle plays finals. The loser doesn't. Now, that's two of the best teams in the comp. So one of the best teams is not going to play finals.
And this is exactly what conference play is all about. It's all on the line in the regular season.
Well, and you look at what happened in Conference B, Geelong lost to GWS last night, which means that
Brisbane have a shot at making the finals.
Exactly. Yeah. If Brisbane wins, they're playing Collingwood tomorrow.
And so if it was all one ladder, the top four would have been set 3 weeks ago. And there wouldn't be any interest in what was going on this weekend.
Yeah. No. So I agree with you. I agree with conference play in general. I think the one mistake that they made was they put North Melbourne and Geelong in the wrong conferences.
Yeah. They didn't know that when they had the...
Oh, no, they did.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
They 100%.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Look, there's been... I'm really bemused at a lot of the sooking and yelling that's been going on about the conference system.
Because you know what people aren't talking about? The games.
Yeah. They're too busy talking about the injustice of a conference system, which means that good teams need to be very, very good to make the finals. And in the other conference, if the teams are all duds, at least their fans are still watching going, oh, we're a chance to make a finals game.
Yeah, exactly.
So if Conference A teams are any good, they'll mop the floor with Conference B teams in finals and everything will be all right. But there's no... Just because you have a better record than a team in another conference doesn't give you any right to playing finals ahead of them. The way it is.
That's how conference. So I'm just having a look at the ladder now, actually. And you talk about more interest for longer. There were 7 of the 10 teams who could have made finals. That's pretty good.
Last year, I think it was when it was only 1 and 2 played the grand final, I think by the last round there were only 3 teams that could have done that.
I think, no, last year... Last year the last round actually did have a couple of permutations and combinations.
I know Adelaide needed to win by a mile or something and they didn't, and that would have given them the grand final.
Yeah, and Melbourne just missed out by percentage again.
And so, that's going to happen this time around as well.
Oh, I... I kind of hope Melbourne lose this week so that they don't miss out on finals by percentage for the third year in a row. But you've got, yeah, the Adelaide are just dominant. Mm. North Melbourne were the dominant team at the start of the season. Frio were the dominant team, overtook them.
Yeah.
And then Adelaide in the last few weeks have just been... I've enjoyed watching it.
What's the saying? But if you don't like it, play better. Be number one or number two in your conference.
AJ, let's finish off with just a couple of things that caught my eye, and hopefully you might have a few things that caught your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cameron Bancroft, he was one of the player who was old sandpaper Bancroft.
Sandpaper groin Bancroft.
Old yep. Bunnings. He's coming back. His ban is over. He's played in the Big Bash.
He got 9 months and everyone else got 12.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Yes. He now wants to go over to the UK, play county cricket to try to show that he should be playing in the Ashes later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's signed for Durham. He's got to miss the start of the English season. He's not playing the first match.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Is it visa issues?
It's not visa issues.
Hmm. Well, then I don't know.
He has to attend an awards dinner, an end-of-season dinner in Perth.
For who? For the Big Bash team?
No. So he's been told by Cricket Australia and his stateside, Western Australia, that he has to attend the Western Australian end-of-season awards dinner in Perth.
Really?
Instead of flying to England.
How bizarre.
He was signed in July last year.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah. It's Durham are, I believe the term
bemused?
Is fuming.
Oh, fuming.
Fuming.
Wow, that's really strange.
They've gone, so he was persona non grata when we signed him in July. We took a chance on him and Western Australia and Cricket Australia should recognise that fact. He recognised it and has pushed strongly to get here on time. That's the Durham chief executive.
Fair enough.
We only played two championship matches before breaking off for a block of 50 over games. Missing one match doesn't sound like a big deal, but those two games are huge for us as we try and start the season well and look for promotion. So yeah. They're in the second tier.
Oh.
I can understand players missing games for international duty, but to miss a game because of an awards dinner is ridiculous.
That's bizarre. How good's cricket administrators going?
Oh, it is, I read that. I'm like, hang on, that's got to be a misprint. It's got to be because of, as you said, visa issues or there's international or...
No, he's getting held back to go to an awards night where he's probably not going to win anything, I dare say.
Correct. Poor bugger. Melbourne Victory, AJ, in the Asian Champions League. Yeah. They were very, very proud of their brand new sponsor recently.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
They had
lots of photos going off. Lots of, what's it called? We need to throw it back first.
Okay, what are we throwing back to?
We need to throw back first because Melbourne Victory have a proud, we do not accept sponsorship from gambling organisations.
Yes.
Philosophy, which is odd because they used to have a gambling sponsor on their shirt a while back. I think there was a bit of a
kerfuffle,
reaction,
right?
And off they go.
So yes. They have that. And they signed the Hong Kong company called Kaishi Entertainment.
Yes.
Now,
seems fair enough.
Yeah.
A media agency.
It took approximately 15 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, for people on Twitter. Soccer Twitter, the wonderful nature
the
of Soccer Twitter.
Part of that website, Soccer Twitter.
To go, hang on a minute, when this was initially announced, Cashbet was the name of the sponsor that was officially and formally announced. Now, Kaishi insists that they're not involved with that betting agency, but they have the same logo. And they have the same promoters. Now
and the same CEO in all the photos.
Yeah. Yes. They themselves, Cashbet, are the official betting partners of Ajax and Roma.
Hmm.
Now,
Victory, I think, like I said, have had gambling sponsorship before, but they also now have an agreement in place with the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation. So they had to get rid of this, and they scrapped all of it. They scrapped everything with Kaishi Entertainment. And I think they have a different sponsor on their shirts now for the Asian Champions League games.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
So I just want to read
due diligence? What due diligence?
I want to read out something else that Soccer Twitter has found. Go on, fans on Twitter also discovered that Keishi appears to be a shell company. Their website features a stock image for their CEO, as well as virtually no working links to other work or projects.
Oh, that's...
Yep.
Oh, soccer Twitter. So the
Victory did say, while appropriate due diligence was undertaken prior to the announcement and the AFC approved Keishi,
since that time,
further information has come to light which raises concerns over their link to an online betting agency.
Deary me.
Just, we talked earlier about Spin. Spin your way out of that one.
Yeah, well done, Victory.
Yeah. What have you got for me, AJ?
Matthew Wade.
Oh, I love Matty Wade.
Your mate Matthew Wade. Everyone's been crying that he should have been playing in the Aussie team this summer. Not me. I think he's done. That's it for him. But in his last three games, what has he done? He's scored two half centuries and one century. Is that correct?
So he was batting at number
50-something.
59, I think.
All year? All summer? Or?
Oh, yeah. So he has... He was
batting at six, then was batting at four. Yeah.
Batting at six, was a leading Shield run scorer. He had scored the most half centuries. He was consistent.
Was he told to go bat at four, or was it suggested that runs at four are more highly valued than runs at six?
From what I can gather, he was told that he wouldn't be selected for Australia if he was batting at six. Now he came in.
The way Tasmania is playing this year, there's not much difference between batting at four and batting at 10.
Yeah, no, he was coming in at four for 130 or less on nearly every occasion. And he came in before the 31st over on a lot of occasions as well. But he was then, it was suggested that if you want to bat number six for Australia, you can't bat number six for your Shield team. So he went and batted at number four, and he didn't want to do that. The circumstances did allow that he was able to move up the order.
Yeah, and he's still delivering the runs.
Still delivering the runs,
but
cannot deny someone who has done what everyone who has ever been dropped from the Australian team as a batsman has been told to do, go back and score runs. The only currency is runs, says Justin Langer.
Yeah, but guess what?
What's that?
Guess who's coming back soon?
Oh, David Warner, Stephen Smith.
Yeah. You going to pick Matt Wade ahead of them?
No, I'm going to pick him with them.
Okay, who are you going to boot? Because Australia have just defeated India in a one-day series. We've just defeated Sri Lanka in a test series. We've just won. Did we split the 2020s? We won the 2020s as well in India.
I wouldn't have a clue about.
So what's going on? Why should Matthew Wade come in to that team where everything's going well?
Because he should.
Okay. Yeah. You got better than that?
Weight of runs. I don't care if he's in the one-day side. I think that he should be. I think that the last three matches that Australia have played have been excellent, and I'm curious as to what's changed, because the way they played in those first two games, there is no way they are going to be competitive in the World Cup later on this year. But the way that they've batted in the next few, maybe they will. You need to be able to score 360 runs to be able to win. England are going to absolutely dominate over in the UK.
But during the Ashes or during
the World Cup?
You reckon?
During the World Cup, yeah.
Jeez, okay. We'll revisit that in a few months.
I also think that they'll dominate in the Ashes. Have a look at the scores in the Shield when they brought the Duke ball in this last round. This last round was not pretty viewing.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, it was
pretty
very funny.
Funny viewing.
Yes. Yeah. For those of us who subscribe to the funny cricket is better than good cricket mantra, it was brilliant watching.
It's the only way to keep people involved.
AJ, that will just about do us. Now, where can people listen to you and hear you and read you?
Oh, boy. Everywhere.
Monday everywhere.
Morning, 9:15 Monday morning on ABC Central Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up online if you can't get it on your radio.
TuneIn app is good.
TuneIn app is really good for that. Got NRL column every Wednesday on theraw.com. Good fun this year getting into it with the commenters. I'm quite enjoying that.
When you say with that cheeky grin, getting into it with the commenters, are you not necessarily writing exactly what you think? Are you writing something to elicit comments, AJ?
I am writing exactly what I think, and that seems to elicit comments.
Well, that's good.
Some people don't really like anything that I write, and it's fun to get into it with them in the comments.
Have you found that people will comment negatively against your article because it's you that's writing? They look at who wrote it.
Yeah. Who are you to be a writing about NRL expert on this? On this website.
I love it.
What about you?
Monday mornings, Triple R, 7:15 a.m. with the Breakfasters. And Also, for those of you who are interested in, we talked about us last week playing terrible level sport. Mm. Footy training started for the community cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's early.
Look at the, look at the state of us.
When you say training, do you mean
We've all gotten together. No, we had a run around. We had a couple of training sessions.
Really?
Got another one tomorrow morning. So
that is a lot.
For one game in June, get your tickets.
That has shattered the illusion that I had of the community cup.
Oh, that's serious stuff. Get your tickets to the community cup.
How many times have the Rock Dogs won it in a row now?
Oh, look, I reckon it's three, but it might be more.
So Megahertz are taking it a lot more seriously this time around.
Well, I am.
You're training in March.
Yeah.
How many of you were there?
We had 20.
Wow.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I know. Get on board, Gunner Megas.
All right, don't forget, we're on Twitter at ASD_radio. We're on Facebook.com/thesportingdiscussion. Come along and join the group. Having some good fun.
Good discussions. There was a good little discussion on the Facebook group about the spirit of cricket and whether teams should be allowed to declare their innings at a ridiculously low level, many runs behind, merely so that their finals prospects are a little bit better.
Yeah, that was good fun.
I think they should. Do what they want.
Get along and join in. Go and have a look at that ASD on Facebook, a sporting discussion. Thanks very much, Andrew. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will speak to you next week. Thank you.